The Hail Varsity Radio Saturday Morning Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Strap yourselves in. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt.
Y'all don't even know he was a virgin until he's 28, and now, roll tide.
And Mark Kranak.
Time has come for someone to put his foot down. And that foot is me.
This is kind of carries a little bit more of some juice here for sure. It's going to be exciting.
Coach Riley, tell me about it. Welcome to Spring Football 2017 and the weekend edition of Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning. TJ's woke up. He went with a donut this morning. Mr. Mark Kranak, God be with you, sir. We have not quite breaking news, but a confession of sorts. Nothing bad. I mean, it's bad for Kranak, but listen, partner in crime, Mark Kranak, is vital, important, tremendous. Mark Kranak is in a battle with the porcelain right now, and it's not his fault. Him and Derek Barnett, apparently, arm wrestling the same foe. Derek Barnett, first-round defensive end talent, Tennessee, will not run and participate in the NFL Combine today. Mark Kranak will not participate in drills talking spring football today. If you hate me, don't turn it. Give us a shot. But bless Mark Kranak. He'll be back next week. We're loaded up, full of energy today. What a day in sports, right? Going to have great weather. Going to have spring football practice to get rocking at 11 o'clock. Got state tournament going on in Lincoln. You got Lincoln Southwest a chance to win the state title for girls. Millard South may say something about that, but a good day. And excited to be with you here on Hail Varsity Radio. Can join us this morning, 466-3776, 466-3776, toll-free, 1-800-825-5865. Can take us with you today, streaming ESPN1480.com, or the ESPN1480 app is for your smartphone. Who do we got for you? Well, we had a chance to get caught up with Steve Calhoun, Armed and Dangerous Quarterback Academy. Steve has been working with Patrick O'Brien since Patrick O'Brien's been in eighth grade. Steve's been a frequent guest on Hail Varsity over the years with his quarterback tutoring. Steve will give you the lowdown on Patrick O'Brien and Tanner Lee. Steve worked with Tanner Lee down at the Manning Passing Academy a few years back. In hour two, Brandon Vogel and the Iron Horse, Gary Sharp, and our conversation with Husker I-back Divine Ozigbo around 8:45 today. So we're locked and loaded for that. Plenty of spring ball to dive into. And these are the three things on your mind today. And in order, you can place them in order. One is your defense, is Bob Diaco, is the 3-4, is the transition. And that transition seems so far so good. They haven't even practiced yet. I'll tell you a little bit more why I think that in a second. So you're thinking defense. Two, you're thinking quarterback for sure. It's going to dominate. It will be a merciless 15-play, 80-yard drive, eating 8 minutes on the clock. That's what it'll feel like this spring with the quarterback battle, where you can't get off the field. You can't avoid it. But it's in the name of stiff competition and talent and options for Nebraska. So you're thinking quarterback today. And the third bullet point, and they kind of go in line, running game and offensive line. We spent a lot of time last week going rapid fire on offense with Nebraska football. Defense is something that we'll focus with a little bit today. But those are kind of your three main bullet points, and they'll be a work in progress for Nebraska. Tej, you're a young man.
Mm-hmm.
Are you cranked up about spring ball, or are you just kind of like, all right, it's football, it's here? Kind of wake me when August gets here. Are you as swept up
So normally I don't get swept up in spring ball just because it's spring ball.
You've seen 100 of them in your 26 years.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of them. But obviously this one is very intriguing for numerous reasons. Like you just mentioned, the new defense and who's going to be the quarterback. So obviously that's going to have staying power and keep a lot of people interested. But, yeah, unfortunately spring ball is just kind of, you know, glorified scrimmage for me. So, but I know it gets a lot of people cranked up.
Oh, there's no off season, and let's focus on that run game, that identity run. There's a lot of great things Coach Riley said in the press conference this week, but identity run, productivity, cut 13, this is what I want to start with.
We got to do a better job, and I talked to the coaches about this year, establishing an identity running game that is a when we turn on the film and it looks like this, then my daughter can say, whoa, that's Nebraska right there. That's how it's got to look. We do that enough that we have a signature, and that when I say that, you got to have balance to that too, because I always talk to you guys about the fact that whatever you do well, you better have a curveball to it. But before you get to the curveball, you have to establish who are we, and then repeated runs that we run and are productive.
Amen. Now, let's see what that signature looks like. Identity. God, you hear about it a ton. What do you hang your hat on? What are you known for? What's your reputation? And if we're going to be frank right now, Nebraska's reputation has been kind of lukewarm with their peers in the Big Ten. It's been lukewarm with their peers around college football. And it kind of, Nebraska's long-term identity and reputation has been physical, has been tough, has been, look, they may not be fast all the time, but they are going to make you bleed. And right now, Nebraska is trying to get back to that physical identity, and Coach Riley knows it. So as much as you hear about the quarterbacks and as much as you are concerned about the defense or excited, maybe concerns the different word that's in your mind, identity is really going to be key in this second phase. Listen, phase one was winter conditioning. And in that first phase, because of new rules, Diaco and the defensive coaches have been able to scope out body types, strengths, speed, fit. So you've got kind of an initial depth chart that's not set in stone. It's not in ink. But at least you have an initial penciled in three deep, two deep of position worthy guys on the defensive line and the linebacker and in the secondary. You got that done. You got that done just by Diaco and Elliott kind of checking things out. And then, all right, here's our puzzle pieces. We're putting you in the different spots. Now this phase two is really where the work can start or continue with that identity mindset when it comes to signature run. What's going to get you third and two? And, I'm not sure, depending on your age, how you care third and two is converted. If you're older, it's got to be run, okay? If you're younger, you don't give a crap.
Yeah, just get it done.
Just get it done and move the sticks and stay on the field. But I really think you're continuing to see an evolution right now with Riley, and what he is well known and seen it at Oregon State all those years. Based on his identity was pretty much adapting to his personnel, okay? He didn't always have studs at every position, so he did what he could with what he had to try and be successful and make up for talent difference.
Mm-hmm.
But be it, if you had Steven Jackson, he's going to run the rock. If you had Crooks, he's going to throw the football. Right now, I think he kind of sees a way to win the West and beyond, and you're going to do that running the football. What have you learned in 2 years? You've learned that you've been close but haven't beat Wisconsin. I hate bringing that up. But Wisconsin wins through running the football and finding their tight end and great great defense. Iowa plays mistake-free football. Iowa runs the football. Iowa's signature plays that stupid stretch run off tackle, and then they get a slow quarterback that's mobile enough, cagey enough on the bootleg. That's their, what, that's their signature, and that's their curveball. Stretch run, and then bootleg. And got them an undefeated season and a top 10 ranking 2 years ago, right?
But doesn't it feel like that this team, the best running game they've had under Mike Riley era was that UCLA game? Mm-hmm. Doesn't it feel like that was a blueprint that we maybe would have saw last season?
Well,
but we
I
didn't really
you,
see it. We 4.2 per carry last season. I mean,
you, no,
way
you,
down.
You didn't see, you didn't see the UCLA type production. I think you saw elements of that game, though. I mean, you took from that game and used it in 16. You didn't have Jano, granted, but you had quarterback run, you had shotgun run, you had zone read plays. So, yeah, you saw it. You just didn't see it as successful. You didn't see it
that
executed.
Falls on the offensive line, I would say.
Well, that falls on the offensive line, the depth development, and it also falls on how healthy your quarterback was because you had two different types of quarterbacks a year ago. You had the runner in Tommy and then more the thrower in Riker. Okay? So you saw the evolution happen. Here's what you're going to do against UCLA. It was an emphasis. They felt good about it. They talked about being more physical. They went and did it and ran for 326. Everyone felt awesome. Not just that you won, but how you won. Okay? Then, as you move to 16, what happened? Well, you ran it, and you ran it well, and that's how you beat Oregon, quarterback run game specifically. That was your signature play, was the quarterback run, the draw. Now you're evolving in year three, and it kind of gets back to, do you want to be a power football team? Do you know how to be a power football team? Is your O-line going to be good enough and deep enough to get that done for you? 12 regular season games, a 13th if you win the West. That's got to start today or continue today. Got to settle on a back, and you got to stay with it. That's the other thing. It'll be real. It'll be much easier to abandon the run game based on what options you have at quarterback, I think, because they were tentative. They shrunk the playbook. They weren't real comfortable with asking Tommy to throw it over 30 times or 25 times. It's not a good recipe, okay? Pitch count, efficiency, let him sting a defense, let him work a defense with his legs. You don't have that this year. So you don't have a mobile quarterback. Your run game, if it goes south, if you can't develop it, well, you've won games before in a different conference in the Pac-12 throwing the football 400 times a game. I think you can do that in the Big Ten. But it could be, it might be easier to abandon the run game based on what you got at quarterback, though, whoever wins it, because of their strength being a throw-first guy. So you got a lot of meshes going on here. What's going to shake out? But it's, you know, it's kind of step two towards that identity. It's step two towards commitment. And will you commit to it? That's what I'm interested in seeing. And you know, spring's kind of about you, as Coach Barnett told us this week. Get better, get honed, get comfortable, get on the same page, and then, you know, move forward towards that off season in the summer, and then step four is obviously the fall.
Yeah, and you brought up the QBs. I mean, what if our completion percentage just goes all the way up to 58%? It was 50% last year, which is just, you know, a coin
you're
flip.
You're talking about an 8%
I mean,
jump?
That, you know, sounds pretty huge and amazing. And just completing the easy passes, being able to move the sticks. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that could change this offense.
Well, it can open up
in
the
a big way.
It can open up the run. It can open up the run for sure if you're completing passes. Got to respect it. I honestly, and I know Tanner's completion percentage wasn't wowing at Tulane, but whoever wins the quarterback battle, and God, this is such a huge ask, but if this is your thing, if this is your forte, is getting the ball out and being smart and being efficient and moving the chains and finding the completions that the West Coast gives you throws, gives you short and intermediate throws, so you're not chucking it downfield 20 yards as your bread and butter.
Yep.
You better be at 60 or 65%. That's kind of my, if I'm a Nebraska fan, agreed, and this is my wheelhouse, that's my demand is mid-60s. It's a high ask.
Or at least 60, yeah.
Yeah, you're hitting 6 out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
Hitting 6 out of 10. But from an identity standpoint, man, not to beat a dead horse with this, but it starts here. Are you going to emphasize it with the run game? Are you going to be a tough football team? Are you going to change that mindset? And are you going to follow the pattern, what's won the West, and put teams in position to win the Big Ten? And I'm saying Wisconsin and Iowa because they know who they are, they know what they are, they know what they go to, and it is imperative. We'll get into some defensive thoughts as Nebraska and spring football gets rocking. One more thought here from Coach Riley on this continual evolution. We'll see if they really go towards and stick with a ground game, knowing how important it is, knowing kind of the climate you're in, despite having really some awesome toys at quarterback. But you got to help the offense, and the different levels help one another, and the running game can help. The running game can help the O-line. So if your O-line's not as good or it's banged up, you got to be better as a running back. As a quarterback, your decision-making and the play calling can help your O-line so you're not holding the ball for 32 minutes. I mean, there's so many different things that go into it. Helping the offense. Cut 14 here, TJ, on Hail Varsity this morning.
We don't have Tommy's legs. So what we have to do is be very aware of allowing the quarterback to succeed. And so what we have in the passing game that helped, well, first of all, the line has to do a nice job. Okay, start with that. Anybody in protection, whether it's the line or the tight end or the back, they have to do a good job. Now, with that, we have to have things that help the line. Okay, that will then help the quarterback. You know, if you have a quarterback that's not going to be a primary runner like Tommy was, then you better have a draw game, a screen game. You know, you better have a quick game. You better have some stuff that helps the line.
All those things help the line. The threat of the pass can help the run game. We'll find out more about the passing game, the quarterback battle. Tanner Lee, Patrick O'Brien, two talents, and a quarterback that has worked with both. And from Armed and Dangerous Quarterback Academy, Steve Calhoun joined us. The Rewind coming up on Hail Varsity Radio this morning. Hope you're doing all right. Spring football day one is here. And I want to remind you, if you're out with friends or family and you have a few drinks and someone offers you a ride home, but you say no because you think you're okay to drive, mixing alcohol and driving, never a good thing. You can take a life, you can lose yours, you can be arrested, you can go to jail, you can lose your license, you can pay legal fees and also fines. Any way you look at it, you drink, you drive, you lose. This message from the Nebraska Department of Roads and Highway Safety Office. So up next, Steve Calhoun, Brandon Vogel coming up, Gary Sharp on the way, in our chat in a little less than an hour. Divine Ozigbo, Husker Iback. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Early to rise with Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Here's Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranick.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Spring football 2017 gets going. The quarterback battle on the minds of many. And our conversation with Steve Calhoun, Armed and Dangerous Quarterback Academy, has been tutoring and working with Patrick O'Brien for many years, also knows Tanner Lee. Here's our talk with Steve Calhoun. Steve, how you doing? What's good, man?
Hey, I'm doing great. Hey, thanks for having me on the show again.
Hey, it's great to speak with you. Now, before we talk Patrick O'Brien and the Nebraska quarterback battle, you're down in Dallas. What are you doing down there?
Well, I have a young group of quarterbacks, middle school and high school kids, that I'm out here training. So And there's a lot of talent here. So I'm really excited to be down here and to be working with this talent. Maybe I can send a couple to the Huskers in a few years.
They'll take it, man. Good for you. Steve Calhoun, Armed and Dangerous Quarterback Academy football camp and armedanddangerousfootball.com joining us. Steve, you've worked with Patrick since, what, eighth or ninth grade with him? And
Eighth grade.
So,
yes, sir.
And you've seen him grow. You've worked with him. You've seen him come to Nebraska about a year ago this time. It was his first spring. You've had sessions with him since then. You've talked with him. How's he feeling about this quarterback battle that starts on Saturday?
Oh, he's excited. He's so excited to, you know, last year, you know, he was practicing hard, but he understood he didn't have a chance to really compete for the job. So it's a little bit of a different mindset. You know, he's always out there competing, but when you know you don't have a chance to really go out and play in front of that great home stadium, you know, so now it's a different mindset where now I have a chance to go out and compete and earn a job. So, I mean, he's really locked in and excited and ready to go.
Tell me some of the things that you guys have worked together on when he's been away from Nebraska and gone back to California. What are some things that he's trying to step his game up in as it translates to potentially that starting job?
Well, you know, the biggest thing is, I mean, you know, Armed and Dangerous football is all about fundamentals. So we're always going to, you know, start with his footwork and his throwing mechanics, just make sure all that's fine-tuned. But the other thing we integrated to his workouts is just his playbook, the movements he's going to have to be doing, you know, at the University of Nebraska. So all the, whether it's the RPO stuff or, you know, your bootleg or, you know, your five with the hits, whatever it is, and the route concepts that you guys throw at that they throw at Nebraska, that's what we have been integrating into his workout.
Thing about Patrick that's not forgotten by me or some, but it's kind of assumed, big kid, 6'4", pass first guy. He was pretty good athlete in high school. He ran for nearly 700 yards. Is the run pass option something that's pretty prevalent with his skill set? Is it something that Nebraska could use with him?
I think absolutely. You know, because I mean the defenses and the defensive lines are getting more and more athletic. Mm-hmm. So to be able to have a quarterback to extend plays with his legs or give Coach Langsdorf a little bit play call a situation instead of, you know, second and 10, you know, he'll take second and 4 all day. That's a much easier, smaller playlist to call from because it's, you know, it's an easier time to get that first down. So I think, you know, having that athletic ability and being able to run the ball, you know, and keep defenses off balance and not really, and the defenses can't say, okay, he's going to be right here every time. So we can pin our ends back. So the fact that he can definitely get out of the pocket and do stuff with his legs and do some, you know, some RPO stuff and some zone read stuff is definitely going to, you know, help out the Nebraska offense.
Talking with Steve Calhoun, Armed and Dangerous Football Academy and quarterback tutor, and his thoughts on Patrick O'Brien. What are some keys to winning the Nebraska job or any job, Steve? You work with a ton of quarterbacks. What are some pillars that no matter where you're at, you got to do to win a job?
You know, I think it comes down to the consistency. You know, the least amount of mental mistakes a quarterback makes, that's going to have the coaching staff so great about, you know, putting them in that situation. But I always feel that the team picks the quarterback. They're going to choose who they're going to want to follow in the battle, you know. So the leadership aspects of it, but and the consistency and minimizing the mental mistakes within the game, making sure you're making the right checks, being able to be that that coach, the second coach on the field. So if somebody has a question about what to do or where to go, he's able just to, you know, give them that information and keep everything rolling.
How comfortable do you think Patrick is? And I'd ask him if I could, but I'm asking you because you've worked with him. Where do you think his comfort level is at being in this offense for a year? Obviously not going in and playing, but all those mental reps, all those travel days he took for road games, all those home games he was able to suit up and at least be there signaling in as, you know, during his redshirt year. What's his comfort level like on a scale of 1 to 10?
I think his comfort level is a 10. I mean, to, you know, to throw scout team and to be able to travel with with the team on away games and see the atmosphere and be next to the coaches and listen to the play calls and see how just the game flows and see the speed of the game. I think he's really comfortable, and you know he's going to be able to step right in if his number's called and play at a high level. So I'm really looking forward. I'm going to definitely be out at the spring football game, there in Lincoln, and looking for him to do really well. But his comfort level is at a 10. You know, being under coach, you know, the coaches there and studying every day and watching film and, you know, just seeing the good things and the bad things that happen, you know, with the offense. He's able to, you know, take that and really process it and understand what he can do and understand the limitations of what he can do and what he can't do and not to take chances with the football.
What's his personality like in that huddle? What have you seen, at least just through some of your camps that he's performed in?
Yeah, you know, Patrick is, you know, he loves to laugh and joke and keep the atmosphere in the huddle light and just, you know, keep the guys, the other 10 guys in the huddle, keeps your mind at ease and not the pressure of the game. It's not that, you know, yeah, hey, don't forget about the sellout crowd that you're going to get in the, you know, in Lincoln every home game. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just kind of, hey, enjoy the game. You know, it's a game that they've been playing since they were 6 or 7 years old, and it hasn't changed. It's just a lot more people watching. So I think he's able to keep it light and keep everybody's, you know, focus in the huddle and executing and making plays.
Did you cross paths at all with Tanner Lee at the Manning camp that you've worked for so many years?
I did. I got a chance to see him a couple of years when he was still playing at Tulane. So I got a chance to see him down at the Manning camp.
What are your thoughts from your time at that camp? What were some of the things that you were impressed with Tanner?
The way he threw the ball. He can really throw the ball. I was really impressed. I mean, he was the first time I saw him was the year that Marcus Mariota was down there and Jameis Winston, and he outthrew everybody there. You know, all the big name guys, you know, came, you know, with all these big logos, and he absolutely, I thought he was the most talented as far as, you know, arm talent in the camp. So I didn't, you know, I introduced myself. Hey, how you doing? We didn't get a chance to talk quite a bit, but he definitely stood out when they start throwing the ball around. He really stood out to me.
What's it going to be like for both these kids, do you think? And when you look at Danny Langsdorf and Coach Riley, their reputation with quarterbacks, I mean, you've had Patrick a year under him, obviously, and now Tanner's worked his way in with the transfer and has done scout team. But if you can, just from a guy who eats and sleeps and breathes quarterbacks to knowing this situation, how good a situation do these two kids have it?
They have it really good. You know, I think, you know, iron sharpens iron. You know, when Tanner, you know, makes a great play, you know, that's going to put pressure on Patrick to make a great play and vice versa. You know what I mean? So that right there, I love that competition. And both those guys, and I know Patrick for sure, loves the competition aspect of it. And that's why he plays football. And that's why he plays the game. So I think that situation between those two guys, they're going to really be pushing each other this spring. And it's going to be a great battle. And, I mean, it's going to have a lot of fans excited because they have two great quarterbacks in their fold.
Steve Calhoun, Armed and Dangerous Quarterback Academy, armedanddangerousfootball.com, and at Armed and Danger QBS. You find and follow Steve on Twitter. Steve, I got to ask you here before we say goodbye. Are you working with some guys for the combine, for the draft coming up?
You know what? I had two quarterbacks I was going to train, and they both end up getting injured during the season. One was Chad Kelly from Ole Miss.
Okay.
And the other quarterback was Tyler Stewart from Nevada, Reno. You know, so Chad had the knee injury, and Tyler had, you know, towards rotator cuff and his throwing shoulder. So, so I don't have any quarterbacks this year for this year's draft, but you know, I'm definitely looking forward to next year's draft and getting somebody ready, you know, to play on the next level.
Well, and you've done that at a high level for a long time, and best luck continued with you, and thanks for taking a few minutes outside of your busy schedule down in Dallas with your tutoring. And Steve, will catch up for the spring game, but I look forward to seeing you again.
Okay, appreciate it. Thanks for having me on the show again.
Take care. Steve Calhoun with us, Hail Varsity Radio.
Now it's time to get back to the Hail Varsity Radio Show with Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranak.
All right, that's it!
You two guys leave me no choice. No television for a week. What?
Back to it, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning, Mark Kranak is ailing today. We really want him to get to feeling better. What he's going through, you wouldn't wish that on Ohio State fan. Maybe you would.
Yeah.
Maybe you would. Weather's going to be beautiful. No time like now to get out to Wilderness Ridge. Membership benefits, membership pricing. WildernessRidgeGolf.com. Can give them a ring today, 402-434-5106. Amazing selection of either the 9-hole course, their 18-hole championship course, and two great folks, Chris Thompson, PGA professional, Mike Schuhart, director of instruction. Shuey's with us during the week. But to get out to Wilderness Ridge this spring and summer and investigate that membership option for you. 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865, spring football. Big discussion point as it gets going today. You heard from Steve Calhoun just a minute ago on the quarterback battle. He knows Tanner Lee. He knows Patrick O'Brien. Great insight. An hour from now, Divino Zigbo will join Hail Varsity Radio. Coming up, Gary Sharp, Brandon Vogel. Let's talk turkey here. And that is what spring represents, a window into a projection and how you think 2017 will be. Cut three here. Patience, program direction, fan base, and Coach Riley kind of staring down that implication that, well, you know, it's a reset year, so just bear with us. No, win now is his mentality.
I didn't do any of this, what we're doing, to have a setback. You know, I'm doing it hopefully to get better. So I'm not looking for any of that.
So let's discuss for a second that dirty S word, setback. Here is what your bar is from last year. 9-4. Felt good for a week in overtime against Wisconsin. You beat Oregon. So you had two little pelts right there. And I don't mean to demean it by saying little, but I'm saying you had two pelts. They're not little. Beat Oregon and took Wisconsin to Ohio took Wisconsin to overtime. You went 9-4, finished 5-3 in the Big Ten, and you started 7-0 and you finished 9-4. So in the coffee shop of college football, that's good. This is a different coffee shop in the state of Nebraska. So setback is below 9 wins. Is it fair to say 9-4 would be a setback? Because you look at this schedule, and my man, this schedule is murder. You're at Oregon. You are. You're hosting Wisconsin and Ohio State in consecutive weeks. Memorial Stadium, that'll be nice. You're not going there, at least. But you're still hosting these two giants back-to-back. Iowa comes to town. That helps. But you're at Penn State and you're at Minnesota. And Northwestern's been pretty good at Memorial Stadium. So you have seven coin flip games. Not to go completely fast forward to 17 when spring starts. Yeah. But he said setback. He's addressing that. And, you know, I look at this thing, Teej, and let's do the math. Schedule, new quarterback. What the hell's going on offensive line from a depth standpoint? Mm-hmm. And you're switching defenses. Everyone we've talked to says, dear God, watch out for that first year with your defensive shift. Coach McBride, not that it can't be done, but it is tough to be awesome early. Coach Barnett, Jim Levitt. I mean, just down the list of guys who are beautiful at defensive game planning and teaching – Now, this is a different staff and animal than maybe you've ever had if you're Coach Riley when it comes to being able to get a guy like Diaco, get a guy like Elliott, and have really good teachers that you have in Perella, Bray, and Williams. Maybe they can pull it off, but it's not the norm.
Mm-hmm. So tell me what you think about this, because I've been thinking about this for a while. I think this team is going to be better this next year, but it's not going to say it in its record.
They'll just play better
and look better. Get more points from the offense. The defense will do their thing, but record wise, it won't say that they're better. I think they'll be 7-5 or 8-4. Just right now, gut feeling.
Just gut based on.
But watching them and seeing them, I think they'll look better.
Okay.
Now, can you get behind that at all?
No, I think it can come together, but I think it may come together with a late run. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what's going to happen at Oregon. I mean, Taggart's got some talent. They've recruited well. You know, Riles wants that one bad.
Yep.
And he's got a quarterback that can go air it out. And maybe they got a run game they can go grind it out.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know. That's week two. This is spring day number one. Your Big Ten schedule's not easy. I mean, Minnesota's been a team that, no matter who's coached them, they've been a thorn to you.
Mm-hmm.
You've had to scratch and claw to win. Not 2 years ago, but this year, came from behind at home, shut them out in the second half. Northwestern looks sexy,
yeah,
don't they? With mm-hmm. Thorson and Jackson, they look great. They were great last year. Nebraska really kind of slapped them silly. And Northwestern was a different team after that. So I could see Nebraska, I mean, they need to split with Ohio State and Wisconsin. And then you put a run together where maybe this is a big ask because you end at Penn State before Iowa comes to town. But maybe you put a run together where you get Penn State and Iowa. Maybe you sweep those two and you're at 7 or 8 wins heading into the bowl game. And I don't know where you're going to be contention-wise. In the West, I don't know how big of a mess the West is going to be or how good the West will be, but I think you've upgraded at Purdue. I know you've upgraded at Minnesota from a PR standpoint. I like the meat and potatoes that you had with Kill and Dilly Bar. I mean, I loved their mindset. Northwestern, we already kind of hit on. Wisconsin's got an experienced quarterback in Hornibrook, not as experienced as Thorson, but they're there. And Wisconsin, I think I read somewhere where they got 4 or 5 linemen coming back on the offense.
Oh, believe it.
So.
And I think it depends, too, with those 7-8 wins, how you're looking at this season. Are you looking at this as Mike Riley's third year, which it is, or are you looking at it kind of like
Mike Riley's first year?
Is it his first year? And I'm kind of looking like
first
it's his
day,
first
rest
year,
of your life.
Just because of how many changes there has been.
Well, let's get in here. Let's talk signs of progress. All right? You got a quarterback, whoever you settle on, hits at 65%. You get a running back for the first time in your tenure here to go over a G. Let's just not call it a G. Let's say 1,200 yards. You get a 1,200-yard rusher, okay, because you got options. Newbie was about 100 short last year, okay? So offensively, if you really want balance, better throwing team will get you 65%. Better rushing team will get you 1,200 yards. I'm not talking combined. I'm talking give me a dude that'll get you 1,200, and then the other two backs complement for another 500. Be a damn near 2,000-yard rushing team.
Mm-hmm.
Yards per carry, get me close to 5, and get me some ungodly number of mid 50% completion percentage on third and short.
Yeah.
Is that it?
Nice.
I mean, have I not defined signs of progress? Defensively, let's get the hurries and sack total up. Huh? Hurries and sack total makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And from a big play standpoint, I mean, Nebraska, God, I mean, you want to talk about themes. Big plays are evil. Run the football with a power football edge and attitude. And make some plays with your quarterback in the passing game. That's his trinity, right? Well, defensively, I mean, the sweet spot for Diaco is your red zone defense. You're getting three and not six.
Yep.
So, fundamentally, and from an energy standpoint, too, we've kind of danced around the physicality question when we started this show. Diaco and that energy, brother, they can bring some physicality.
Definitely can.
That attitude, maybe it can rub off on the offense, because you're either going
to
punch back or you're going to cover. And I think he's going to demand that intensity's match.
Yeah, like Popovich says, I need some nasty. I need some nasty from that offensive line, man.
But you've heard Cav say it too. They're position guys saying it. But it's going to be...
Action's bigger than words.
No, I know. It's going to be 19-year-olds that got to bring the nasty based on the reputations they have. So we are coming up on hour two of Hail Varsity Radio, spring football, day one, 2017. Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning, Mark Kranach, thoughts and prayers to him with the stomach bug he's dealing with. And he'll be back next week, I hope. I think so. In hour one, we caught up with Steve Calhoun, Armed and Dangerous Quarterback Academy. He's tutoring Patrick O'Brien, and he's worked with Tanner Lee, so he had insight onto the quarterback race. In hour two, we'll run down Brandon Vogel, HailVarsity.com and Magazine in 10 minutes. Gary Sharp, the Iron Horse, will join us, get his thoughts on spring football. We'll dive into some Husker baseball. Nebraska shut out in Frisco, 1-0 to Oklahoma State. And they just can't buy a break. So we'll spend a couple minutes on that. Husker basketball, big one against Michigan. And our conversation with Divine Ozigbo. We're talking running backs, running game, signs of progress. Divine will have a big say in that. With health and his ability. I love what he brings to the party, job-wise.
See, I like Trey going, like, I want him to be the number one, and I think you want Ozigbo to perhaps be the number one guy. So we're going to see how that
I don't have a dog in the fight. I think they're all very capable. You know what's capable, Sauter Heyman? When it comes to making her smile and saving you coin, pure grown diamonds, they're 100% real diamonds, but they're grown in a lab instead of earth mined. They're eco-friendly, they're sustainable, and they're 10 to 40% less than traditional mined diamonds. Go see Sauter Heyman today about your pure grown diamonds, SauterHeyman.com.
The Hail Varsity Radio Saturday Morning Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Strap yourselves in. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt.
Y'all don't even know he was a virgin until he's 28, and now, roll tide.
And Mark Kranach.
Time has come for someone to put his foot down. And that foot is me.
Hour two, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt. TJ Henning, Mark Kranach back next week. Spring football 2017 loaded up. Second hour, Brandon Vogel is with us. Gary Sharp is in the on-deck circle. And Divine Ozigbo will round out the lineup this hour. At Brandon L. Vogel on Twitter. Vogues, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you, Shreddy?
I'm good, man. Is there a spring in your step here with spring football day one today?
A little bit. This is sort of the peak of spring football. Day one, you have all the anticipation of getting it back, and then, you know, it slowly sort of limps home to the spring game, which is good. It's better than no football, but my feeling coming away from the spring game is always, oh yeah, I'm ready for the real stuff to get here. So
no,
it's a good substitute. It's sort of football methadone.
No, thank you. You know what? That's a great call. You know, there's really, when it comes to kind of bridging you, methadone comes to mind, right? Vogues, let's spend a little bit of time, and I want to go back to the Wednesday press conference. And, you know, what message were you anticipating from Riley? I mean, there's so much that went on this offseason. I think he covered a ton of it, obviously, and he was pretty point blank with his own expectations, but What were you needing to hear, and did you hear it?
I don't know if I needed to hear anything. I kind of came away, Mike Riley tends to be a pretty open book for the most part. But I thought this press conference this week was maybe the best example of that yet. He kind of came in knowing a lot of the questions that are surrounding the program that people are talking about, people are asking. And he directly addressed, a bunch of those, going through an entire defensive two deep. I was delighted by that because it was sort of a topic we've been talking about for 5 or 6 weeks. So, I think his response to the question of is this a sort of transition? Does there need to be patience? Was the obvious one and was the right one. Because you just don't have time for that anywhere, really, in college football as it currently exists. So it was at least refreshing to see him acknowledge that rather than try to dance around it.
And I get in the win now climate, you don't have a lot of time to jack around. But I'm going to step back and say, well, it is year three. It's not easy. You were hired to move it forward. I get all of that. What do you think his greatest challenge is this spring? If you look at Riley, you look at his team, what's their biggest challenge?
Probably just offensive continuity. We've talked about it all offseason, what little offseason I guess there's been to this point, about how it feels like the offense is going to be new. Well, from a teaching perspective, it's not. All of the concepts and things that they've been using, the quarterback is going to be new. But when you start to look at teams over the years in sort of this situation, looking at all the teams and how they're previewed and what sort of predicts future improvement or if your win total goes down, offense continuity is a big one. And Nebraska doesn't have a lot of it. You start at quarterback and running back, which includes your top two rushers in this case with Tommy Armstrong from last year. That's a significant challenge. It's part of the reason that I think defensively Nebraska will probably start a little bit ahead than of where they're at offensively. There's just a lot of work to do there. So how do you find that? How do you coach to, I guess, encourage some of that familiarity that you don't technically have? That's a pretty big one in my mind.
So we've got the new offense finally being installed, and we obviously have the new defense being installed. Out of the both sides of the ball, which position group do you feel best about?
Probably the secondary. I think when you just look at the experience back there and the number of options, it's a pretty deep position, at least it looks so to me on paper. And you've got a couple of your best players probably back there when you look at Jones, Kalu, maybe even one of the safety spots too. I really like the way Aaron Williams has played so far early in his career. So that's probably the obvious one. I think Nebraska's offensive line needs to be a strength, and they also have the pieces to do it. I'm just not quite as sure of that part of it as I am with the secondary.
What's causing that uncertainty with the O-line, in your opinion? You got to replace center, and really, though, you have 4/5 of it back that have seen time, right?
Yeah. We just haven't quite seen it yet. Last year's a tough one to judge on when you look at the number of injuries they dealt with. You almost have to go back to 2015, and then you're getting to guys who are playing now weren't playing then. So it's kind of tough. That's why the offensive line feels like a little bit of a wild card. You have the experience. It looks for now like you have the depth with some of the guys coming off red shirts, and also some sophomores who were, high 3-star, 4-star guys who haven't quite made their mark yet. So best case scenario, Nebraska should have some good competition up there, even though you've got 4 or 5 starters returning. Now it's just a matter of, we kind of have to see it at some point. So I think that's what this spring's about up front.
So the wide receiver position is an interesting one. You had lost a lot of people to graduation, and then you have a bunch of young guys. On March 4th right now, who would you bet your money on to lead this team in receptions? Is it Stanley Morgan? Is that too easy?
Yeah, I think it's Stanley. He's now it'll be a little bit interesting because he'll be the guy that every opponent prepares for, until until you get a few games in the season and they prove that there's something else there that they have to address. So he's always been sort of that guy who's been working underneath guys like Jordan Westerkamp and Brandon Riley. So that presents a different challenge, but he just made so many tough catches over the years. I think he's a really good receiver. I think he's an NFL caliber receiver. So everything goes according to plan. He should probably lead your team in receptions. It'll be really interesting, though, you know, in terms of how much Nebraska likes to use those slot receivers, because who steps up there? You know, we kind of look at the two of the most enticing guys are redshirt freshman J.D. Spielman and maybe a true freshman in Tyjon Lindsey. And then how does DeMarnay Pearsonell fit in? I thought he, I guess if you can have a good press conference, I thought he had a pretty good one on Wednesday.
DPE's just raring to go. He's sick of that what could have been mentality out there. And I think he is on edge, brother, to really perform. And I hate to bring up a name like Jamal Turner, because, I mean, you had a great freshman year from DPE when it comes to the return game, making some plays, and even pre-injury. I mean, the guy took over and dominated the Minnesota game. This is 2 years ago. So you've seen a lot of great flashpoint moments from Pearsonell. You saw some potential, too, in a guy like Jamal Turner. I think Pearsonell is so on edge right now in a good way to go out with a fantastic season. I think he's going to put the work in. I think he's going to put the determination in. And I think he is going to be one of these guys that really, if Nebraska is to have a breakthrough year, he'll be a major reason why. Do you think he is fully confident right now? I mean, he kind of intimated that he's just looking forward and that's that. But I think he feels really good. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I get that sense as well. And it's encouraging. You know, it's kind of hard to put yourself in somebody else's mind space like that, to go from a freshman All-American, you know, as a punt returner to all of the, you know, when that happens, you think, well, Nebraska's got an electric playmaker for 4 years, and then you get injured in year two. Year three, you're back, but you don't ever totally feel back. It's not a given that DeMarnay Pearsonell comes to spring camp 2017 with the mindset that he displayed on Wednesday. So I do think that's an encouraging sign, and it indicated a sort of awareness of where things stand for him in terms of, look, we can't focus on how much better things could have been. I've got one more year to sort of get it there. So I thought that was an encouraging sign.
Tight end is a big question mark for this football team. Who do you think emerges from this, and do you see them even getting maybe like over 25 receptions going into the season?
Yeah, it's tough, because I think ideally in this offense they would like to see that.
Yeah.
But you know, you had a guy like Stephen Carter who you just couldn't quite get him the ball enough, it never felt like. So, you know, I think Tyler Hoppus is probably the guy you feel most certain about right now. And then you've got a bunch of guys like Jack Stoll and Matt Snyder who are all in that sort of, you're kind of waiting to get your first glimpses of them. It won't draw anywhere near as much attention as a lot of these other places, but that'll be an interesting to watch when you get a chance to see some of these open practices as a media member, is what exactly is happening there and who's sort of taking the lead, because it's a pretty even race overall, I think. And don't count out Ben Miles. I think he's going to play as a true freshman.
Wow.
And could factor in there as well.
Love hearing that. I mean, I love his game. Honestly, great. I mean, if he can make it happen, that'd be a nice weapon. Vogues, I got to ask you this. And Jay and I were talking about it earlier in the week. I want you to throw your take in there. If you're putting together that identity run, that signature run, what is it? What do you think it is for Nebraska? What would you have it be?
as a Nebraska, I guess, born and bred Nebraskan with some eye toward nostalgia, probably a counter sweep, but I don't think that's going to be what it is. I mean, I think, you know, Riley's teams have always traditionally been a pretty heavy zone team. I think if you can get that sort of outside zone run where you can run it consistently, that probably means the best things for the offense overall.
All right, so you're telling me counter sweep is what you'd put in the old Vogel Tecmo playbook.
Yep.
But what you're thinking is the outside zone. All right, okay. All right, I gotta switch to basketball for a second. And is Sunday just another opportunity for Nebraska to get it righted, or is it maybe a cloudier end of the regular season game?
Yeah, I think it's just sort of an opportunity to kind of give yourself a little momentum going into the Big Ten tournament and sort of quiet the talk. Because, you know, these last four games have seemed to change people's opinion of Nebraska basketball significantly. I don't know if that's happened for me. It kind of feels like this season, it is what it is at this point. So, you know, it wouldn't be a surprise to see Nebraska come out and play a really good game at home. You know, we've seen them sort of bounce back and come up with these games where you're not really expecting much. But, you know, given their run of play of late, if Michigan wins that, you know, people are probably expecting that too. So classic Nebraska basketball, I guess, here at the end of this season, or regular season at least. It feels like anything can happen.
All right, folks, what's going on with HailVarsity.com? We are everywhere this weekend, I understand it. If folks haven't logged on or haven't checked it out, what's the extravaganza all about?
Well, a lot of content on the site of late, and it's set to ramp up even more with spring practice. You know, we have our HailVarsity Premium, which you can try out for 30 days. You know, there's going to be a lot of sort of practice impressions, kind of being the eyes for people who aren't able to get to practice and letting people know what we see. And that should spur some pretty good discussion. Start to look towards next week with, you know, football practice continuing to ramp up, and then baseball is finally home for the first time this season. So a lot of good stuff coming up.
Well, I love it. I know you love it. And if you have a chance, can try it out. The premium side of things, HailVarsity.com/subscribe. I know you'll be all over practice and analysis, but are you firing up the barbecue today?
No, not today. I've toyed with the idea, but it's a little bit chilly, so I might hold out until tomorrow. I've still got it's been a long time since I've actually fired up the smoker. I've got everything. I've got it in the freezer. It's just I got to pull the Band-Aid off and get back on the horse here.
Well, we expect pictures. Add Brandon L. Vogel on Twitter. All right?
All right.
Vogues, you be good, man. Great to talk this morning. Thanks for your time, bud.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
Awesome.
Thanks,
Brandon Vogel with us, HailVarsity.com and magazine. Good log on, HailVarsity.com. And great write-up. Jacob Padilla does a nice job hitting on the opportunities with the defensive line. You know what I'm anxious to see? And I know it's just the preliminary depth chart. I watched this player at Southeast a lot, and he was on the offensive line and defensive line, but he's listed in the on the depth chart at nose guard. It's Finn Anderson. Finn's just a big dude, great family, know them a little bit. And he's not Mick, obviously, but Finn's name is on the list, and he's just a grinder. And, you know, 6'2", 6'3". I don't quite know his weight now, but he's always been just a huge kid, good mobility. And he's happy as all get out to be a Husker, and cool to see him on the depth chart, see what he can do.
Grade A first name. Finn? Yeah.
You like that?
I like that.
All right. It's no Carson, but yeah. It's pretty good. A quick timeout. The Iron Horse, Gary Sharp coming up soon. Divino Zigbo also before the hour's done. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Varsity Radio Show with Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranak.
All right, that's it!
You two guys leave me no choice. No television for a week.
What?
Come on now. It's tradition to have McConaughey lead us in when Sharpie comes on.
I know. I hit the wrong one. I felt committed.
You're flustered. You've been forced into duty. Kranak is hopefully taking shots of Pepto. That poor guy.
At least this is a good song.
Spring football and the Iron Horse is here to kick it off for you. Gary Sharp, Hale Varsity Radio. Sharpie, good morning. How are you, sir?
Doing well. Does TJ know the whole story of Wally Pipp and Lou Gehrig?
Probably not.
Lou Gehrig played for the Yankees, TJ.
Oh, I know Gehrig, but I don't know who Wally Pipp is.
Wally Pipp decided to take a day off. Lou Gehrig said, you know what? I'll take the assignment. I'll be in the starting lineup. And he never left the starting lineup.
Ever.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. So now he knows, Sharpie, and you've got him smiling and high-fiving. Okay, I need to ask you here. We're starting spring ball today, yes, but let's talk signature run game. That's what I'm still kind of buzzing about from Riley on Wednesday. You're good at what you emphasize. Sharpie, how confident are you that it's one thing to say it, but it's another thing for actions. How confident are you Nebraska devotes itself to kind of refining that run game? They want to, but will they?
Well, I think you heard a head coach who has researched the Big Ten pretty extensively in the 2 years that he's been in the league, and he used Wisconsin as the example. And we've talked a lot about having a run game that you can hang your hat on. I think he's very serious about it. But the identity of the run game, a lot of it is predicated on what your big guys up front do. And now into his third year, I think this will be the most confident they have a feel in the offensive line and the quarterback and the running backs all being in sync. So you can have that. I'm wondering when Nebraska gets right down to it, on third down and four, third down and three, what is their signature play? Do they say, we'll line it up behind the big boys up front and just run the ball? Or will they pass the ball? But I think he's serious because he has seen how Wisconsin and really even Iowa last year were able to win the Big Ten. So I don't think it was coach speak yesterday or on Wednesday.
Right.
I think it was he truly wants to find a signature running game and maybe a signature running back for Nebraska moving forward.
So we've talked a lot about the running game, but how about the passing game? Last year, Nebraska completed just 50% of their passes. What if that jumps all the way just to even like 58 or 59? Doesn't this offense look completely different?
Well, I think we're cooking with some peanut oil there, TJ. The one thing that Tanner Lee or Patrick O'Brien, and don't kid yourself, Mike Riley was being very nice and giving accolades to both quarterbacks. Tanner Lee is in the lead as practice begins today, and I think the coaches would rather announce a starting quarterback sooner than later. That's just my opinion. But the simple just playing pitch and catch, the screen game, things like that will help Nebraska immensely. And you've seen that Patrick O'Brien and Tanner Lee both have the ability just to play simple pitch and catch. That's what's hurt Nebraska over the last 4, 5, 6 years with Caleb Martinez and Tommy Armstrong is they're so inconsistent in just playing pitch and catch. So that screen game, that might actually turn into part of the running game as well. But you're right. If you can just jump that a hair to 59%, you know, get your yards per completion up, I think that opens up a lot of things. I think you'll also see better quarterback play help those wide receivers where they're catching more balls in their hands and they're not having to go out of their way to make catches. So also where you make catches on the run and you can get that additional yardage.
Gary Sharp with us, Hale Varsity Radio. Sharpie, what's your initial thought here on this 3-4 transition? Listen, you talk to a lot of people, you know football. The feedback we've gotten from smart folks on defense has been, you know, it's not going to happen overnight, but what's a good, I guess, first or second step for this defense to be ready for 17? I mean, is it going to be a growing pain transition, or do you think it can be better than expected based on all the teachers you have on the defensive side?
Well, I think this transition and being very difficult might be a little bit overblown.
Okay.
I think you have the right guys in place to teach it. I think the one thing Nebraska will run into is the type of bodies in those certain positions to play at their spots where field side, or the other, or the strong side. Mm-hmm. I think Nebraska, that'll be the transition. But you have a start. I'm very intrigued by Mick Stoltenberg at 310 pounds playing on the nose. Now, he's going to have to stay low. His problem has been at the point of attack, he gets high. And for a nose tackle at 6'5", 310, that's a little bit large. But I think you'll see this year develop where Nebraska grows into it. You know, there's some guys that are getting on the field where if you're in the old 4-3, Alex Davis probably isn't on the field. He's finding his role behind somebody. So I don't think it'll be that big of a transition. I think it'll be the transition of the players and the certain body types that are playing in those positions. But the one thing, and the key thing about when I say it won't be as hard of a transition is Bob Diaco is not saying, hey, you've got to be perfect every time. He just wants effort. If you make a mistake and you fly to the football, good things are going to happen. He wants team defense. You know, Levante David, who's one of the best Nebraska defensive players we've seen in a while, he wasn't necessarily the smartest guy in his first year. He flew around, and he was able to make up because of his energy and his speed. He was able to make up for some mistakes he had. I think initially that's what Diaco would like to see, and that'll benefit this defense. But, you know, you're asking a lot of those three guys up front. But I'll tell you what, the guys in the back end, Nebraska's secondary with the coaching they're going to have with Williams and Elliott, watch that. That's going to be, when they walk off onto the practice field today, that's a position group that is already set that'll be big, big for Nebraska in 2017.
You brought up Stoltenberg. Do you like him there because of what he's capable of or because there's just not many other options for that nose guard position?
Well, I think it's a little bit of both, TJ. Okay. I think at 310 pounds, he kind of fits the role. Again, he's a guy that's got to stay low. If he can command that position and staying low and at the point of attack, you know, he's the first guy to make contact, then I think we have something there. But I'm very intrigued. I don't think you'll see 6'10 guys playing nose for Nebraska. But watch that position. I will also say this. Look at where other guys are. I like the Carlos Davis on the other end. And then freedom with Marcus Newby behind him to go on that side. Because that's, boy, if you're a tackle and you got to deal with Freedom and Marcus Newby from the outside. But also look at the positions and the body types. And it gives me a great indication when I hear Freedom is the starter at that position, but also that Deshaun Neal is behind him, because that means that Deshaun Neal has changed his body, and Deshaun Neal is back to looking a little bit sleeker, where last year he looked more defensive tackle-ish instead of an end.
You know, Neal is a big-time talent, anxious to see what he can do. Sharpie, let's talk running backs. Is there a pre-spring favorite, a guy you think that can come in and win it more than another?
Well, I'm on the Trey Bryant bandwagon. I think Trey Bryant, you saw what Nebraska wants to do offensively was the Maryland game, and you saw in that game Trey Bryant out of the backfield catching passes. I think not only finding holes and doing everything running back-wise will lead to a starting position for someone, but also the ability to catch the football. Now, I was all on Trey Bryant. I was wondering about Divine Azigbo. I saw Divine Azigbo the other day. You saw him, Schmitty. He looks entirely different. He is a guy that has got his body in shape, and he looks a lot sleeker than he did at the end of last year. Mikael Wilbon is that wild card. We always get teased. Remember the Northwestern game last year? We're like, okay, that's the Mikael Wilbon. He only carried the ball 9 more times the rest of the year. Can he catch the ball out of the backfield? And then I think Jalen Bradley, because of depth there, will get a shot in the fall. But Trey Bryant is probably the first guy. But, man, I'm encouraged by Divine Azigbo and what he's done in the short amount of winter conditioning with his body.
Yeah, I'm with you, Gary. Trey Bryant, I think he's the all-around best back, so I'm looking for him to take that spot. I asked Brandon Vogel this question. Tight end, big question mark. Who do you think emerges for that spot?
Well, if there's a position group on the field where you go, you throw your arms up and go, not really sure, it's that. I think a guy that eventually will be the starter for Nebraska by the end of the year is not even in school yet, and he's still in Indiana and Kurt Raffel. But don't discount Hoppus. I think Hoppus will turn into a really good tight end. I like Connor Kettle, but he is he's going to miss part of the spring. And then you have Engelhop, who is a wild card that they really liked in his redshirt year out of Norfolk. Matt Snyder's got to show up because we've been waiting on Matt Snyder, and he's been plagued by the injury bug. Remember, you beat Michigan to get Matt Snyder when you showed up on campus in your first recruiting class. And then Jack Stoll is a guy that has a lot of attributes, and he's very athletic for a tight end. But the one thing that I will not say and immediately go, uh-oh, Nebraska's going to be in trouble at tight end, and remember, they lose 3 guys that contributed heavily last year in a lot of different ways, not just catching the football. In Carter, Sam Cotton, who had a really good year last year that nobody talks about, and then Trey Foster. But the one thing that keeps me going about the tight end position is Tavita Thompson coaching that position has shown in his first 2 years at Nebraska that he can develop guys into that role. And that's a role that's going to get a lot sexier under the Danny Langsdorf, this is what I want to do on offense. But I think Rathdahl will have a chance to break into that regular rotation. But don't forget about Hoppus. We kind of forget about him. He'll be the guy that'll show up big here in the spring.
Great size, very athletic. Sharpie, before we go, and I hate to go here with this, but how are you treating tomorrow from a Nebraska basketball standpoint? Michigan comes to town.
Well, it's a great unknown. I think Nebraska has to show a couple of things. One would be, of course, to win. Another would be to have some confidence, have where they're playing 40 minutes, and avoid those lulls in the game where Michigan goes on a run and all of a sudden it gets ugly like it has the last three games. I think Nebraska has to be dialed in. You know, they have a short week coming from Minnesota to this game, and everybody knows what's swirling around, whether he's going to stay or go or what's going to happen. But first and foremost, tomorrow night is Ty Webster's senior night. He's had kind of a crazy career at Nebraska, but he's going to finish up where he's going to be all conference. It just seems like there's a disconnect between the coaches and the players. I would like to see in the final regular season game where, with everything that's going on, three straight losses, where it's been 16, 16, 15, you're still going to have 14, 15,000 people in that building. I want to see Nebraska play with some energy and play smart, have some discipline. We know they're going to fight for 40 minutes, but give me some discipline and possibly pull a victory out of there, because if you don't win that game, then it's just crazy for the next few days until Nebraska plays again in D.C., and that's the third straight year you're playing in a play-in game, and that is unacceptable.
Sharpie, you think the disconnect is from a coach-to-player execution standpoint or from a player-to-coach? This is the game plan we got. What do you think the disconnect stems from?
I'm going to quote Ed Morrow. He said, "I don't know right now." I think when Tim uses crisis and confidence, I think that applies to players, and I think that applies to coaches. They don't have an answer for how to fix things or to be playing your best basketball this time of the year. It's been such a strange year where you start 3-0, and then all of a sudden you go through an injury with Ed Morrow, and then when you think you got it solved with a key road victory at Ohio State, you've really laid three eggs. Now, granted, those three teams have played really well against you, but Nebraska's discipline and lack of X's and O's has really bothered me. So, hey, you know, we're going to be in that situation where we're going to have the great unknown, and nothing tomorrow night changes it. If there's any decision on the Nebraska basketball program, it's been over a five-year map. It hasn't been over a week stay from Michigan State, Illinois, and then Minnesota, and then with Michigan coming up tomorrow, Schmitz.
Gary Sharp, you're right on it. We will see you at practice. Sharpie, you're awesome. Thanks for the insight today. Always appreciate you, man.
Thanks, Schmitty and TJ.
Thanks, Gary.
Gary Sharp with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Hail Varsity Magazine, the Iron Horse. And there's the Wally Pipp story. Sharpie's as good a baseball guy as there is. It's a pretty good story.
Now I know.
It's pretty good. A quick timeout and a back that Gary's right on. Has changed his body. He's healthy. He's feeling good. Husker Iback, Divino Zigbo. Our conversation next on Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
With Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery, with Chris Schmidt and Mark Kranach.
Back at Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Welcome in Husker Iback, Divine Zigbo. Divine, how's the offseason been? Kind of take us through what your team group, your peer group's been working on.
This offseason's been pretty good. Everybody's, you know, has made definite gains. You know, I've been working on getting lean out, which I've accomplished. So, you know, things have been good. We've all been pretty invested in.
Investment's pretty key and kind of one of the talking points this press conference day was how there were 10 groups, 10 off-season captains. And tell me about your group. Who was your group leader? And then some of the accountability points that were, you know, handed out by peers to your group.
Yeah, my group leader was Tanner Lee. And we had we had a bunch of guys in our group. I was pretty confident from the start. We only had about two guys that were just late, so we don't even like losing 100 points as of now. So I feel like everything's been going pretty well. Tanner's been keeping us all updated with the schedules. If any changes here, we're always texting the group message. So yeah, everybody's been pretty up to date on what to do because, you know, this group situation.
How's he been as a leader?
Oh, I like Tanner. He's definitely been a leader. He's definitely, you know, taking reins comfortably. He hasn't shied away. He doesn't act like a new kid. He doesn't act like a newbie. So he's just he's fit in pretty well.
We mentioned newbie. He is no longer at IVAC. Terrell is.
I'm a newbie.
Right. Yeah, you said newbie, but right. You said the magic word newbie. He's now off to bigger and better things. There's an opening for the majority of snaps at that IVAC spot. Tell me a little bit about some of the evaluation and feedback you got back from Coach Davis on you as you head into your junior year.
Yeah, recently me and Coach Davis had a meeting just going over a bunch of my runs from last year, and he definitely showed me some things that definitely, you know, separate myself from the rest of the backs in this competition. Just little things. Once you already make the first move and you get in the open field, there's a little more that you can do. Just don't leave any yards out there, which is a big thing. I noticed that when we watched a film together. So he was definitely right about that. And things, if I correct those things, that could be big for us.
Devon Ezigbo, a few more minutes with us here, Hail Varsity Radio. So from last year, take me through where you first got dinged and when, if at all, did you feel healthy? Because I know you battled injuries quite a bit last year. You also played hurt, too.
So the first one happened in like the third quarter of the Illinois game, and I was out. We had the bye week, and then we went to Indiana, and I was all right. Got one snap in that game, didn't really play much, but, you know, we came with the win, so we all came home. And so I was pretty much completely healthy when we got to the Wisconsin game, except for, you know, just a little bit of aching in the right ankle. And then early in the Wisconsin game, hurt my left ankle, which put two bum wheels on me. And then I was, you know, kind of banged up going into Ohio State game. That didn't make any better, which kind of prolonged the healing process. But, like, I would say by Purdue, I was ready to go, but they were just, you know, trying to be extra careful and just little things built up. And then it just kind of prolonged until I got my chance at the bowl game.
Were you rushing back and they weren't ready to have you back? Is that fair to say? So you wouldn't re-injure yourself?
Yeah, I felt confident in myself. I felt confident in my ankle that I'd be able to play. So as long as they would put me in, I was going to, you know, give it everything I had. But they were just, I guess they were a little weary about it. I don't know. So I was basically up to that. I was ready to go as soon as I thought I was.
How does that conversation go from you to your position coach or you to, you know, Langsdorf or whoever you need to speak with? Look, I'm healthy. I'm ready to go. I've been cleared. Was it tough to be patient for you last year when you got back and you didn't see some snaps?
Yeah, it was definitely, you know, something I didn't expect, but, you know, it comes with it because the guys that were playing while I was in my absence, they were playing good. So there's no reason to hurt them just because there was a couple of things I accumulated in practice, a couple of little mental mistakes from being out of the game for a little bit. But, you know, so they were playing well and they weren't making mistakes. So there's no reason to in and out right like that.
What do you feel best about heading into your junior year? And what's an area that has been circled to continue to work on?
I feel best about just knowing the offense. I've been here, you know, my whole college career, so I know a lot of it pretty well. And I'm pretty confident in my understanding of it. And just things I can work on is just getting better my pass protection and, like I said, just maximizing every opportunity. Don't leave any yards out there.
What's it like to pass protect? I mean, kind of take me through. I know it varies based on the front you see, mm-hmm. the quarterback call, down and distance, all that good stuff goes into what your job. But as a back, I mean, you're pretty thick. You have great feet, are powerful. So as far as picking up that backer or end or whatever your responsibility, is it difficult to kind of decipher what you're supposed to do and hone in on the techniques? How do you get better as a pass protector, I guess, is what I'm asking you as a running back?
For me, I actually like trying to identify who's coming, so like I picked that up pretty well. I've gotten pretty good at that. For me, it's just like a technique thing. It's either like I'm lunging or I'm shooting my hands too early. So once I get all that in sync and be able to strike with balance and power at the same time and lock in, once I get all that good, my pass protection should go all the way up. So it's just like a technique thing. I'm working with John, one of our GAs, on that a lot, so he helps me figure out the timing to strike and things like that. So I think it's a technique.
That's a funny part, too, because, like, balance, I think, is one of your strengths. But having that balance when there's a target coming at you is kind of the difference maker, isn't it?
Yeah, it's with leverage because they have, you know, they're coming from an awkward angle at full speed. You know, you're going to get, like, two maybe gather steps, and then you have to strike. It just kind of – that rhythm is kind of hard to get. So once you're able to get it, it really changes your game as a pass blocker, which I'm working on.
Well, let's talk running game and the offensive line, the guys you got coming back, the emphasis. Coach Riley talked about it too, wanting to have that bread and butter identity run. And I think of what you've done as a guy who gets yards after contact, has the juke along with the power. I mean, I think there's a lot to your running game that you bring for Nebraska. And what can this offense be from a run standpoint? It wants to be efficient. You want to get good yards per carry, but in some games last year, it was tough to do so. And that's a key, I assume, to get better running the football. Where can this O-line go? Where can this running back room go when it comes to being a good running team next year?
It can definitely go up. We had some good spurts last year. Like you said, we also had some down times. But I feel like the way this O-line is built, the way they gel together, we have just massive potential, and I think that's where we're gonna get. We're gonna continue to grow, and with the backs, if we see our O-line working and making holes, we're gonna have to force ourselves to be better to match them. So I think this season's run game will be a good one, a nice one to watch.
Do you have this vision of balance in your head when you got the run game going, and then you have whoever gets the quarterback nod? Both guys can throw. I mean, how powerful can the offense be?
Yeah, definitely that's going to help us because teams put guys in the box to account for Tommy last year, but now when we have quarterbacks, they can pick people up through there. Like very precise, like that's like their main focus of their game. It's gonna, force the defense to not be as aggressive. Sit back and try to cover our really good receivers, and that's gonna just help the running backs and help all of us maximize our game on the run game.
What do you like about the screen game and then the draw game in this offense when it comes to fitting your ability?
I love running screens. Screens is probably one of my favorite plays as a running back. And so just, especially with drop back, with Tanner or Patrick's arm, they're going to be wary about the pass. So they're going to have to drop back. They're going to have to respect that aspect of us, which could open up, like you said, the draws and the runs. And I also do really enjoy running draw plays. I guess I just enjoy playing football. But it's just, yeah, things that a passing quarterback can do will definitely open up this offense.
Lastly, are you close with the other guys in the running back room? Who, I know it's a stiff competition, but you guys are all there to kind of prop up each other too, cheer for one another. And who are you close with? Who pushes you most? But who are you also kind of able to talk with?
All of them. We're all really cool with each other.
That surprise you?
Yeah, when I first got here, when I first got to college as a freshman, I thought it was going to be way more hostile in the running back room. But even with the Monty, Terrell, Jordan Nelson, all the older backs, when I first got here, everybody was just really inviting and just, come on to take me and teach me little things. We're doing that to the young guys now. Everybody's cool with everybody. I wouldn't specifically point out one person that pushes me because, they all do. Mm-hmm. So it's it's nothing new. Everybody comes. When we get the new backs, we're gonna just be just as friendly to them as the older backs were to us. So we're just gonna continue the hospitality and just making everybody better in the room.
Divine and Sigma with this Hail Varsity Radio. Last thing. Last time we talked, you had just signed with Nebraska. It was signing day, yep. And you had told a story about how I believe your mother made some really spicy food for Coach Davis.
Yeah.
Have you had a chance to make that for any of your teammates?
Oh, no, but my mom has came down, and she brought some food that I greatly have missed.
Ethiopian food, correct?
I don't know, Nigerian food.
Nigerian.
Yes, sir. And then so that was gone quickly. I told my roommates I would share with them, but then by the time I knew it, everything was gone.
Well, Divine, best of luck. We'll catch up again. Thanks for a few minutes, man.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Divine Ozigbo, our conversation on Hail Varsity Radio. There's a giant smile on his face when he talks about screen game. There's a giant smile on his face when he talks about Nigerian food. It was pretty cool to sit down with him again and anxious to see him run the football. Really telling about 2016. The injury situation, what happened against Wisconsin, where he got that ankle jacked when he was on a bad left ankle, the right one went down, the frustration, and just kind of the lesson he learned and he's taken with him. And that's, even though I've not been on the field playing, I got to be mentally locked in. And he admitted that, look, I was falling short. And then just to kind of go a little more in depth with the pass protection, that whole gather step and the leverage and the techniques needed to stay on the field so it's not a situation offensively where, okay, if X or Y is in at running back, you know they're not going to do this. They're likely to do this, a tendency breaker, so to speak. So we'll see what Ziggy can do. Heck of a back. I've enjoyed watching him run and enjoyed talking with him. Reminder, if you missed any part of Hail Varsity Radio today, you can log on hailvarsity.com. Go to the radio tab. 30-day free trial offer to read premium content, breakdowns of practice for basketball. Great stuff with Brandon Vogel, Jacob Padilla, Aaron Sorensen, Mike Babcock. TJ, you're awesome, bro. Thanks for stepping in.
You got it.
Appreciate you, man. Kranak, get better, and we'll be back at you next time on Monday with Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Take care.